And everybody say, praise the Lord. What an awesome presence of the Lord. Grab your Bibles, if you will. I was going to make several preliminary remarks, but the Holy Ghost has swept through here, and we just want to jump on that bandwagon. I do want to say it is a huge honor to be here. It's a miracle for me to get invited to preach anywhere, but it's a greater miracle for me to get invited to preach somewhere twice. And so I have been to the Ohio District several times, and so I appreciate you being very, very kind to me. To Brother Bolgren and his family and this beautiful church, what a great edifice, and congratulations. It is good to be at the Taj Mahal of Talmadge, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful place. If you have your Bibles, Jeremiah chapter number 1, Jeremiah chapter 29, and then we're going to also read one verse out of Genesis chapter 37. To Brother Stark and the district board, thank you so much for the privilege and the opportunity to preach here. I had written in my notes earlier that it's good to be among friends, and then I came to the business session today, and I realized I didn't have a lot of friends here, but it's good to be in Ohio anyhow. Jeremiah chapter number 1, verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. You're not here by accident. And before you ever came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I'm going to read that verse again. This time I'm going to cheat, and I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Woo. Your past may be bad. Your present may be bad. But God showed up tonight to give somebody some hope and to give somebody a future. Then Genesis chapter 37 and verse 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren. That makes sense. If you ought to be able to tell your dream to anybody, surely you can tell it to your brothers. And they hated him yet the more. Well, that didn't work out the way he thought. A little boy was drawing a picture very intently. His teacher came up to him and said, Johnny, what are you drawing? And he said, I'm drawing a picture of God. She said, well, that's nice, she said, but no one knows what God looks like. He said, they will when I get done. I pray tonight that when we get done, you'll have a better picture of what God has for you, what God has for your church, what God has for your family, and what God has for this district. My title is this, The Destiny of the District. The Destiny of the District. Now, don't write that off and think I'm just preaching to a few people in the district. I don't know all of your names, or I would have put the destiny of A, B, and C. But since it's district conference, and since the alliteration worked out well, we're just going to go with the destiny of the district. And if you'll help me preach, shout amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I think it is important for each of us to realize that we all, everybody say, that includes me. Everybody say, that includes me, that we all have a destiny to fulfill. I do not believe, and you would never be able to convince me, that it is God's will for us to casually float through this world as individuals and as churches, just punching the time clock and waiting to die. I do not believe that. I believe with all my heart that we have something to do. We have something to accomplish. We have a purpose. And here is the stark reality. Someone, or maybe somewhere, is waiting on us to pursue the destiny that God has for us as individuals. We were, and we are, created with a purpose, and that purpose should fuel a desire in our heart that propels us to want to do more, experience more, and to reach further, and to believe God for greater things. The church was started on purpose, and the church was started with a purpose. We do not plant churches because there was a church split across town, or because we are unsatisfied with our current church, or because we think we could be a better pastor than someone else. We plant and start churches because we believe that God has a destiny for every city. And I believe that God has a destiny for every individual in this room tonight. And so regardless of what anyone might, what anyone has told you or might have tried to convince you, you are not just predestined now to be a sum total of your past mistakes and experiences and circumstances, and that's now just how it's going to always be. I believe each of us have the opportunity to still choose the direction and destiny of our life. Regardless of everything that has happened to you, what the enemy has meant for evil, God can take that exact same thing and turn it into the right ingredients and somehow make it the very best thing that's ever happened to you. And that's why you should never let a devil or a director or even a deacon convince you that the mess you've been in, that God can't take that mess and turn it into a message of hope and deliverance. Now, I don't know about you, but when I got in church, I didn't get in on the perfect side of the church. I came in a mess, and I came in with some dysfunction, and my greatest miracles was always morphed out of my biggest mistakes. And if we're not careful, we'll start looking at the calendar. We'll start looking at the prescriptions we're taking. We'll start looking at the birthday candles on the cake. And if we're not careful, we'll just sit on the sidelines and suck our thumbs because we missed this opportunity and because we didn't attain this during that particular season. And now we're just X numbers of years old, and I really can't do anything for God now, so I'm just going to sit back and let it all pass me by. That is a lie from hell. We can still make decisions that can awaken the destiny that God has put in our lives before He even formed us in our mother's womb. Because you see, I just believe, and you can call this pretentious or you can think I'm trying to pat myself on the back. I am not trying to do that. But I just believe when Robert and Sue Tony got together and decided to have a sixth baby, whether they decided or not, I personally think I was an oops. I was a baby of six in a very poor family. You don't plan stuff like that. My brother's name is Floyd Lee. Floyd, grandpa on my daddy's side. Lee, grandpa on my mother's side. That's bookcases. That's the end right there. And then I show up. Jimmy Dion. Don't laugh at my middle name. But I don't believe that I was just the result of a mom and a dad. I believe before mom and dad even got together, God said, there's going to come a boy there. See, you got to wake up and realize, regardless of what the devil's trying to tell you, God's got his hand on you, and you've got more promise than you've got problems. And some of you need to wake up and realize that God's got more for you to do than just occupy a seat in a church house somewhere. He's got some real God-ordained destiny that he wants to see you unleash. Somebody shout amen. About a month, maybe 2 months ago, I really felt like the Lord spoke to me to speak to you this little thought. It's probably not going to be the best sermon you've ever heard, but I do believe that it is a right now word for somebody. Because throughout time, this notion of destiny, everybody say destiny, has intrigued the mind, it has captured the imagination, and it has awakened the soul. Destiny is always connected with dreams. If we have no dreams, then we have no destiny. How many of you, when you were kids, you dreamed of being something? Some of them were bizarre stuff, you know, crazy stuff. But at that moment, see, I grew up, and there was a show on TV. My folks didn't go to church. And there's a show on TV called Chips, California Highway Patrol, and it was about these motorcycle cops, I think John Baker and Poncherello, and I'd watch Chips, and I'd watch them put their little sunshades on, I'd watch them get on their motorcycles, and they'd chase the bad guys, and then my dreams would take off, and when the show was over, I'd go outside, and I'd get on my bicycle, and that bicycle became a motorcycle. And my neighbors became drug dealers. Well, my neighbors probably were drug dealers. But anyhow, but I began to imagine, man, when I grow up, I'm going to be a chip. I'm going to be a California Highway Patrol officer. And then somebody bought me a telescope, and I started looking at the moon, and I started looking at the stars. And so I was like, I'm going to be an astronaut. I can't spell it, but I'm going to be it. And then those shuttles started blowing up, and I was like, I'm probably not going to do that. I'll be a preacher. They sleep till 11. They only work one day a week. They eat a lot of chicken, and they count envelopes. That's what I'll do. But we've all had some crazy dreams. When we wade through all the silly stuff, like I dream of being a ninja or a billionaire or an astronaut, and we get down to the realities of life, and we must be careful in our generation because some would love to manipulate us into believing that if we just get married, or if we just had children, or if we could just get that degree and become a professional, or if we could close that deal and have extreme wealth, then we would be happy. That is a mirage. That is a mistake. That is a misunderstanding. Happiness is never accomplished by acquiring stuff. We are bombarded daily with all manners of advertising trying to sell us or tell us what we need to be happy. But I want you to hear me tonight, and I'm going to say it slow. It is only when destiny is fulfilled that we can find true happiness. Because once you realize that I am doing what God has called me to do, it really doesn't matter at that time how much money you got in the wallet. And if God's called you to be a church planter, it doesn't matter if you've only got 10 people in a storefront somewhere. You're happy because you realize that now you've stepped into your destiny. The reason why so many people in church are miserable is because they're chasing all the wrong things. Like the old country song says, they're looking for love in all the wrong places. But if some of you would just wake up and realize and that God's been tugging on you for a long time, and if you quit fighting against that and just go ahead and step over that threshold. I wish somebody just clap their hands right now and give God a shout of praise. I want you to step into your destiny. And so I can't address each of you as individuals, so we're just talking about the destiny of the district. The dictionary defines destiny as the events that will happen to a particular person or thing in the future. Somebody say future. It is also defined destiny as the hidden power believed to control future events. There's that word again. Everybody say future. So this teaches me that destiny is something that will happen to us and for us, but it is always in the future. Our text said, "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Destiny always seems to be just a little out of reach. Destiny, it always seems like you're having to stretch for destiny. If you're expecting destiny to come to where you are, you'll never find destiny. You got to be willing to get up from where we are, and we've got to be willing to go to where it is. Destiny is something you've got to search for. It's something you have to experience. You have to chase after. As the deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O Lord. Abraham had to sojourn. He had to leave where he was. He had to look for a city whose builder and maker was God. His destiny was not found where God sought him out the first time. His destiny was connected to where God was taking him. Destiny is like the North Star. It is a guiding light that pushes us forward and propels us toward our goals of doing what God has called us to do. And so I just wanted to pause here tonight and tell you that if you have yet to receive everything that you have been believing God for, I just want to encourage you tonight, keep reaching, keep stretching. To the pastor that hasn't had the breakthrough yet, keep preaching, keep believing, keep pushing. And I know this is going to sound like a pep rally, and I don't mean for it to, but the best days of this district are not somewhere in the rearview mirror, and neither is that the case for your life and your church. Your best days are somewhere in your future. God is looking for somebody that'll say, "I'm not satisfied with where I am. I'm stretching into the future." Somebody that will push. Somebody that will pursue. Somebody that will press. Paul said, "I press toward the mark." I'm reaching. I'm stretching. I'm believing. I may not have it yet, but I'm getting up in the morning and I'm going to reach for it again. I refuse to let the devil win in my life. I refuse to let the devil discourage me. I refuse to let the devil tell me that God's word is invalid. The devil is a lie. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Walk out of district conference with faith. He is able. Now follow me on this. We can live from a place of destiny, but we cannot live in that place. What do you mean by that? Okay, here's what I mean. You cannot simply continue to live the dream. You got to wake up and take some conscious steps toward making it happen. Anybody can dream. Even lazy people can dream. But somebody's going to have to wake up and get up and make the dream become destiny. When Joseph dreamed his dream, I am certain He was a young man. I am certain that he thought the dream was going to be fulfilled sooner than later. Because as a young man, and at times a younger man, and I feel like God would have spoke a dream to me, I just knew it's time. Only to find out it was nowhere near time. So I know Joseph, in the moment, God gave him the dream, and then he thought, well, this is about to happen. And so, because it's about to happen, I might as well go ahead and tell everybody about it. And you got to be real careful who you tell your dreams to. If I told some of you what was really going on in my head and what I believe God could do in the next 20, 30 years of my life, you would freak out. Because it's still processing in my head. And so I believe that he thought it's going to work out sooner than later, but I also believe he didn't know how it was going to work out. So he began to express his dream, and the people that he thought would be happy about it hated him for the dream. But what he could not see was that their hatred and what seemed like betrayal was the exact thing that God needed to put him on the road to destiny. The reason why some of us have not tapped into our God-given destiny is because every time someone does us wrong, or every time someone throws us in a pit, or every time someone talks bad about this, we get mad, we get angry, we get frustrated, we cuss them out, we backslide, because how dare them throw me in? I'm the dreamer. God spoke to me. How dare you not serve me? How dare you treat me like that? And God's looking down trying to say, Joseph, I wish you quit acting like an idiot right now, because I'm trying to get you exactly to where I need you. The dream that I've given you is connected to what's going on in your life right now. And if we could have that little revelation that everything you're going through right now, God's going to use that as the ingredients to give you exactly. See, you think those people leaving your church are hurting you. You think people that think your ministry is not valid, they're hurting you. No, no, no. God's... Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost. God says, Joseph, I'm going to take that exact same situation, and they don't even know it, because what they meant for evil, I was saying, come on, keep doing it. That's going to push him down the road. That's going to let him tap into his destiny. I am convinced... And I'm praying that the mantle of Jeff Arnold does not rest upon me on tonight. My God, you bunch of dirtbags and losers. But I'm convinced we backslide too easily. I think there was a connection in here when that choir was singing that one song about I'm not going to turn back and I'm not going to quit. But I think the reason we connect to that is because we struggle with that sometimes. You cannot tap into God-given destiny without having problem, troubles, trials, and tribulations. We backslide too easily. We do not give God time. This is what cracks me up. Now, you know, people come into the church. Let's just say they get in church at 45 years old, and they come into church, and they've given the world 45 years. They've given the devil 45 years. They've given drugs and alcohol 20 years. They've given gambling 30 years, whatever. They've given the world all that to get in the shape they're in. And then if God doesn't miraculously pull them out of that in about 4 months, here's my theory. Ever how long you gave the world, if you gave the devil 20 years to get you that messed up, you ought not to even lift a finger of complaint until about year 21 in the church. Say, God, I'm going to give you as long. Now, I don't think it's going to take him as long, but you just got to make up your mind. I'm not going to let this problem distract me. I'm not going to let this trouble make me leave the church. Come on, I made up my mind a long time ago. I'm going to heaven. I am going to go to heaven. I'm going to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You may not like me. You may try to offend me. People may try to lie on me. People may say that's between you and God. But as for me and my house, we're going to get up and we're going to shake the dust off, and we refuse to let bitterness anchor us. Let me get back on my notes here before I get in trouble. Everybody say process. Everything we're going through is a process on the journey to get us to where God wants us to be. But the journey is not all mountains. The journey to our destiny includes trials and tribulations and troubles, and there'll be valleys and there'll be issues. So here's my equation for tapping into your destiny: dreams plus determination plus detours plus darkness equals destiny. You eliminate any one of them out of the equation and you're shortchanging yourself. It happened that way for Joseph. It will happen that way for us. It will happen that way for this district. Everything that my family has been through, the good, the bad, the ugly, God has allowed it to happen to get us prepared for the next season, for the destiny that he has for us in this season of our life. And everything that you have been through, and everything that this district has been through, the good, the bad, the ugly, the ups, the downs, the good things, the bad things, the things that no one knows anything about, all of it has been used by God to set us up to achieve the destiny that God would have for us. Now, I don't know about you, but I still believe the words found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, where Paul said, "We know that all things work together for good." Now, I looked up that word "all" because sometimes when preachers want to sound smart, they'll break out the Greek and the Hebrew. Now, I'll be honest with you, most of us don't have a clue what Greek and Hebrew is. We just have a program on our computer, but it really does make us sound sophisticated. And so we'll look it up, you know, we'll look up, we'll be preaching. We'll get that little preacher voice, you know, like I was in my study the other day. And as I was contemplating and meditating upon the wonderful words of God, I just began to look in the original language of scriptures. And while pondering upon the promises of the powerful God in which we do serve on today, I was prompted by the Holy Spirit to go to the original language, and I looked up the word "all." And Paul wrote up under the divine unction of the Holy Ghost that we know that all things. And I looked up the word "all," and you might want to get your pen and paper out for this, because the word "all" in the original language comes from a Greek word, hakashapasha. And it means all. For we know that all things work. When God gave you the dream, when God gave you the vision, when God gave you the hope, and then you begin to express it, and then all of a sudden people begin to turn on you, and people threw you in the pit, that's part of the all. And when people lied on you, that's part of the all. And when people pushed you what looked like further down the road, that's part of the all. But I've come to tell you, there's still destiny in your future. Because we know that all things work together for good. Devil, you're not going to hijack my destiny. You're not going to shortchange my promise. God is working this thing out. Esther chapter 4 and verse 14 says, "And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom?" And without trying to be labeled as someone that's just kissing up to the district, I believe Esther 4:14 is being fulfilled in this district at this time. That we are come
to the kingdom for such a time as this. If God had needed you here 20 years ago, He'd have had you here 20 years ago. But because He needed you here right now, He went ahead 20 years ago and started ordering your steps so that there could be this intersection. Destiny. Somebody shout destiny. It's always in the future. I see it. I'm trying to get to it. It's always in the future. And it never happens overnight. If we were shown the fullness of our destiny at the beginning of our journey, it would be unimaginable, unachievable, and quite frankly, unbelievable. That's why we're just given intermittent glimpses, snapshots. Deuteronomy 7 and 22, and the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee. We hate this verse, little by little. I want to go back into my city this week and I want to conquer it. Yeah, you will, little by little. I was in my study the other day, and little and little. God never does it at once. He could. He just doesn't. He doesn't do it because He can't do it. He doesn't do it because we can't handle. God does it little by little to keep it within our sights and to give us vision. Paul said it like this: for now we see through a glass darkly. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. I heard one translation, they said it said like this: where there is no vision, people will change, perish. We've all had these glimpses, these flashes or impressions that this is how it can be. It's not how it is, but it's how it can be. It's in the future. God created us to become creatures of destiny. And He's a big God. And I believe He's got big plans for you. And I believe He's got big plans for this district. And I think it's a disgrace to a big God when we are content, comfortable, and complacent with small dreams and small ideas and small vision and small buildings. We need a big vision for this district. We need a big vision for our church. We need a big vision for our families. I don't care if you're in a storefront right now. That's not your destiny. I don't care if you only got 15 people right now. That's not your destiny. I don't care if you got 500. Keep reaching. Keep believing. Keep pushing. There's got to be more. Either this book is right or it's a lie. I believe it's right. And I've come to tell you that He is able to do exceeding. Brother Bulgren, this is beautiful. But He's able at the right season to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. I've come to try to wake up some Pentecostals tonight and tell you that our destiny is still in front of us. And it's bigger than we can imagine. It's greater than we can imagine. Hell can't stop this revival. The devil can't stop this revival. Hell can't stop this church upon this rock. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Walk out of district conference knowing there's power, there's a future, there's destiny. Somebody shout amen. Young preacher, make up your mind that your destiny isn't going to be connected to the world or to worldliness or to carnality or some non-truth principles. I believe we can still be apostolic and be the best thing going in the city. I I don't believe I have to go sit at the feet of somebody who's never planted an apostolic church to learn how to plant and grow an apostolic church. I just don't believe that I have to do that. I believe God is able to say, I'm going to put this person in your path. You just keep reaching. But you can reach and be apostolic. You can reach and be passionate. You can reach and still be anointed. And I got so excited when I saw these elders on the platform. 60 years. There's no way Brother Lehman's been in the ministry 60 years. He's 47 years old. There is a typo. Ever since I've left headquarters, that place has went to the birds. There is a typo at headquarters. I'm going to have to fix that. There's no way. 60 years. The elders are not remotely saying that they don't want the younger to reach further. I haven't met an elder yet that said, don't try to outdo us. What kind of parent would not want their children to be better, be more successful, to have more? If you don't want your kids to have more than you have, something is wrong in your psyche. And if the elders are sitting here saying, come on, we were Pentecost when Pentecost wasn't cool. We were Pentecost when nobody wanted to clap their hands. And when nobody, we were Pentecost when they were making fun of us. But yet they kept reaching. They kept reaching. And they have built a platform on that the next generation can come and not destroy, but stand on that platform and keep reaching. Thank God we're not in the brush arbor. Thank God we got a microphone. Thank God we've got air conditioner. Thank God we've got some of these great things. But this isn't where we're supposed to stop. They reached when they didn't have any of this. So now that we've got it, we can't sit back and fold our hands and say we're just going to wait on the rapture and count our money. The devil is a lie. You got to keep reaching. You got to keep investing. You got to keep giving. You got to keep believing. Somebody shout, the church has a destiny. Too often, though, we confuse destiny with destination. A destination is the attainment of a goal along our path as an achievement of a certain desired level of economic or educational status. Let me say it like this. Destinations are places through which to progress, but not to stay. Too many Pentecostals have stopped and settled at the wrong address. Destiny, on the other hand, is bigger, greater, and is always in the future. People can be trapped in disillusionment when they arrive at what they believed to be their destiny. When you arrive at what you've been reaching for, you now have a critical decision to make. You either stay there or you pick your eyes back up and you start looking. I wonder what else God's got for us that's just a little out of reach. When you reach it, it's no longer your destiny. It's now just a destination. If it ceases to be in the future, it ceases to be your destiny. Thank God for where we are, but let's not get comfortable. And let's not turn this into our destination.
Let me say it like this. The burning bush was not Moses' destiny. The staff turning into a snake was not his destiny. His hand turning to leprosy was not his destiny. Those were just destinations that would prove he's on the right road. Do not confuse destination and destiny. Moses' destiny was to deliver millions of people from bondage and slavery. And once he did that, his destiny now became to lead them to the promised land. But too often we get sidetracked by the supernatural. We get mesmerized by the miraculous. We get satisfied with the sensational. And when we do this, we build monuments to moments. And if you think I'm lying, try to move a piano that has always been there. Sister Myrtle Sue played that piano 35 years ago. Now, that piano ain't been tuned in 25 years. It ain't been played in 20. But if you don't think we build monuments to moments, move, what'd I call her name? Myrtle. Move Myrtle's piano. And Myrtle's granddaughter that doesn't even remember her grandma. Don't touch my grandma's piano. Now, see, it kind of got a little tight right there. Because there's a Myrtle in every church. Well, I'm just going to hammer this for a little while because Myrtles are here tonight. And we are so satisfied with what happened at that moment. We didn't think we'd ever be able to achieve that. But now we did. So let's never move from this place. And we turn destiny into a destination. And we say, well, we'll just stay here now. Because surely it can never get better than Myrtle's piano. If there really is a Myrtle here tonight, forgive me. I thank God for everything that's happened in your church. I thank God for everything that's happened in this district in the past. But if we really look at this the way I think we're supposed to look at it, those are moments and destinations that simply proved we're on the right road. But we got to keep pursuing. And we got to keep pushing and we got to keep praying. And I promise you, if you keep doing that, you'll keep possessing what you didn't think you could ever have. And once you get it, thank God for it, shout about it, testify about it. But don't build a monument. Just keep reaching, keep believing. Why can a man walk into a city and take nothing and have nobody and build a church of 100 people? And then all of a sudden, it's 100 people. 100 people last year, it's 100 people next year. 100 people in 5 years, 100 people in 10 years. What happens? God doesn't change. For the most part, there's probably more than 100 people in that town. So it's not like we don't have clientele. At some point, we just stop and we get satisfied with destinations. Instead of continuing to reach for destiny, I am begging this district to not be satisfied with just a burning bush. God's got more for you. I'm begging this group of people to not be mesmerized by the miracles from yesterday. God's got plenty more miracles in the future for you. The destiny of this district is to make a mark on every city and every county in this state. Until everybody in Ohio's knows that our God is one Lord and His name is Jesus, then we've got to keep reaching. We've got to keep pulling into the future. We can't stop here. Somebody in your neighborhood needs a Bible study. Somebody in the city next door needs a storefront. We cannot stop here. Our destiny is greater than our present destination. David, the lion and the bear is not your final destiny. Shout about it. Thank God about it. But move on. Oh, and by the way, Goliath is not your destiny, final destiny either. Shout about it. Testify about it. But move on. Oh, and the king's daughter and the king's riches and the fact that you're not going to have to pay taxes anymore, that's not your destiny either. Those are just monuments along the way to let you know God's leading you. David, don't stop until you get to Jerusalem. That's controlled by the Jebusites. But your destiny is greater than a lion and a bear. Your destiny is greater than a giant. Your destiny is greater than a little bit of money that somebody gave you. Your destiny is greater than all of that. Your destiny is to walk into that city and bring that city. As a matter of fact, David, your destiny is going to call Jerusalem the city of David. I want to preach to every pastor here. Thank God for every lion that you've killed. Thank God for every bear that you've killed. Thank God for every giant that you've knocked down. Thank God for the blessings upon your life. Thank God that you're not having to rob Peter to pay Paul anymore. But I come to tell you, that's not the end of your destiny. You've got a city that God wants to make his name famous in. Keep reaching. Get the Bible studies tired out, dust it off, and believe God for one more soul, one more revival, one more baptism. Matthew chapter 17, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter. I'm not going to finish, but I'm going to hurry here. Jesus taketh Peter and James and John, his brother, and bringeth them to the high mountain. Everybody say high mountain. Because sometimes when God pulls you up somewhere, it's high. It's a lot of work. It's effort. It's energy. But it's destiny. You got to get there. Got to get there. And he was transfigured before them. They never seen anything like that. His face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with them. And I know Peter's a Pentecostal preacher. Because immediately at the moment of the miraculous, Peter said, let's build a monument right here. And so Peter said, hey, Jesus, man, this is as good as it's going to get. It's good for us to be here. If thou will, let us make three tabernacles here, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. Peter would have been satisfied to stay on that mountain and to just have that one manifestation. He'd have been satisfied to build that tabernacle, and he'd have been satisfied for his destiny to have stopped on Mount Transfiguration. But Peter, I've got more for you than what I just did for you. There's an upper room. And then I want you to preach on the day of Pentecost. But don't even think that's the end of it, Peter, because I didn't want you to bring the salvation message to the Gentiles. Too many of us are dwelling on the mountain when in reality God has a greater destiny for us than the little manifestation that's captivated our attention on the mountain. We fall in love with moments too quickly. We went to Hawaii a couple of weeks ago on vacation. We went out to the North Shore, and they were there's several guys out there surfing. I can't swim, so I don't mess with all that stuff. But I was watching them surf, and not one time did I see a surfer wade out there, wade on the wave, catch it right in, and as soon as he rode in on the first wave, pick his surfboard up, walk back to his car, put the surfboard back on top of his car, and get in and leave. Not one of them. Because that's not what they were there for, to catch one wave. And just the way the Lord speaks to me, I felt the Lord tell me, that's a problem in Pentecost. We're one wave people. We'll wait out there, and we'll wait on it, and once he does something supernatural, man, we'll shout about it. Then we pick up our board and we go home. And what do we miss over and over and over? Thank God for what he showed you on the mountain. But there's more in your future than what you've seen in the past. I don't have any axe to grind here. I don't have nothing to gain from any of this. But thank God for everything that God has done in this district in the past. Thank God for it. But there's more mountaintops in your future than what you've had in your past. Don't build a monument yet. God's got something greater than what you've seen in. I want to encourage some preacher, do not go and look at that building. And even though there may be less people this Sunday than there were 5 years ago, and think that God has deserted you, no, your destiny is greater. Moses climbs the mountain, and Moses on top of the mountain, just like Peter. Moses on top of the mountain. He fell in love with the thunder and the lightning. He fell in love with the finger of God, and he fell in love with the power of God. And he, man, just, this is it. And his destination thing he didn't think he could ever reach, now he's satisfied with. Everybody else is in the valley just wanting a God to worship. He's in the mountain being mesmerized by the miraculous. And the Bible says in Exodus 31 and verse 18, he gave unto Moses, and he gave unto Moses, and when he had made an end of communing with him, when God stopped talking to Moses, the very next verse, which is the next chapter, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come out of the mountain, God's finished talking in verse 18 of Exodus chapter 31, but Moses doesn't want to leave. And while Moses is trying to get one more glimpse of the glory, there's people in the valley that they're only guilty of saying, we just want to know what God looks like. We want to worship a God. Now, I don't agree with what they did. They put everything together, threw their gold in. They got a golden calf that danced around it naked. That tells me they didn't even care what standard was connected to it. They just wanted to worship God. And it's so easy for us to condemn the people in the valley because of the way, the things that they're worshiping and the way that they're dressing. And yet the whole time, how many people delayed their coming in the mountain? Because we just wanted to see the glory one more time. And we wasn't worried about anybody in the valley. Because we just wanted to turn this moment into a monument. And God saying, Moses, this is not your destiny. Get down there with the people. Thank God for the Sunday night shout, but you cannot lock yourself in the church on Sunday night and not get out there and rub shoulders with the people on Monday. Okay. Let's see. Let me. Musicians, come. We'll give you hope. Amen. I'll just throw this in for free. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Remember, it was a high mountain. Everybody say high mountain. Because when God's calling you up and you don't understand and it's pre-revelation, it feels like it's painful. It feels like it hurts. It feels like it's high. But look at what happens on the backside. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Peter said it like this, and the voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain. It's amazing what you think is high before the revelation that you'll find out after the revelation that was really holy. It was worth the journey. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which should be revealed in us. Somebody shout destiny. It's always in the future. Let's all stand. I want you to just reach your hands up real quick. Just reach your hands up. Then I want you to just kind of get on your tiptoes. And then just kind of stretch just a little further than what. Somewhere about right there is your destiny. But when God gives you the strength to get there, you as a district, I as a preacher, we as individuals have to make up our mind. Are we going to stay here? Are we going to thank God for this destination and say, all righty. There's got to be a little more that's still just a little out there. I want to do this altar call a little different tonight. I want to do this altar call for, I don't want you to come just yet, but I want to do this altar call for preachers who you're kind of on the, it's hard to call it negative because if all things work together for good, but you know what I mean. If you're on the kind of the negative side of ministry right now, to where it seems like you're in the pit, you're being lied on. I didn't even get to Joseph yet and how he got through all that. You say, well, I'm just going to focus on the positive. I'm going to forget the negative. I'm going to focus on the positive. I'm going to focus on the positive. And that sounds good. And we can write books about the power of positive thinking. I get all that. But not everything that happens to me is positive. And so sometimes you got some negative to deal with. Amen? You see, we don't understand this today. And this is just going to date me a little bit. But destiny is dreams plus determination plus detours plus darkness equals destiny. When I was in high school, junior high maybe, I took a photography class. And see, y'all don't even know anything about that. All these young people, we actually used to develop film. And you would take pictures, and you wouldn't see it immediately like you see it today. But it would be superimposed on a little film that they would call a negative. But whatever was put on the negative was exactly what it looked like. When it gets developed, it's not going to look any different than what was captured on the negative. And in my little photography class, we would go into what's called a dark room. And we would have to let that negative settle in several types of solution. But what was already there began to come out of the negative in the darkness. See, everything God has already superimposed His DNA on you. Now, He's just waiting to see if we will go through the process. Determination, detours, darkness. We're not used to that today because we'll take our phone and we'll snap a picture right now. And there is no waiting and there is no negative and there is no this. Just click and proof. And if we don't like it, we'll just delete it. And we'll take it again. And we'll take them up high so we can cut some of this off. And in our microwave society, we don't want to wait. I've learned in 20 years of pastoring, I've learned that God is more into marinating than He is into microwaving. So if you're going to try to tap into your destiny and try to forget and flush all the negative that's happened to you, you're going to build a monument to something and sell yourself short. I'm just going to focus on the positive. Listen to me. It's a simple illustration. But when you leave tonight, go to the parking lot, go to your car, pop your hood, look at that battery. And that battery, the thing that's going to give power to your vehicle, that $200 battery is going to give power to that $50,000 car. And that battery is going to have a positive and a negative. If you got a battery with just positive, you're not going to get started. If you got a battery with just negative, it's not going to take you from point A to point B. But if you want to get in and get from where you are to where you need to be,
that battery is going to take the negative and it's going to take the positive and it's going to somehow pull them together. And that's what's going to be the power. And if you want to get from where you are to the destiny that God has for you, He's going to take every positive thing and He's going to take every negative thing, Joseph, and somehow it's going to all push you to where you are. And then you have to decide. You have to decide at that point, am I satisfied here? Or am I going to keep reaching? So here's my altar call tonight for any pastor, preacher, minister that's here. And this is going to be a catch-22 because, you know, we do this stuff all the time in church. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm almost to the point in my ministry, I'm tired of that. I'm like, I want every eye open and everybody looking. The only reason I got in ministry because they used to say, you know, every head bowed and every eye closed but the ministry. I was like, well, man, I want to look around in church, so I'll get into ministry. Because tonight, I don't want this done in secret. I don't want this done like we're ashamed of it and we don't want nobody to see. So just look up here. If you're here and you'll be willing to admit it's been a little negative. There's been some subtraction. There's been some problems. Some issues with my family that I haven't told anybody about yet. And I'm trying to preach, and I see some in the future. I just haven't yet attained it. And it seems like everything that can go wrong is going wrong. If that's you, I just want you to step out of where you are right now. And I want you, you ain't got nothing to be ashamed of. You ain't got nothing to be embarrassed about. Now, if you're here and you're a preacher, this district conference, the destiny of this district, if you're here and you're just not satisfied with where you are, you just believe that God's got a little more. You don't know how, you don't know where, but you're not through dreaming and you're not through seeing vision yet. I want you to step out of where you are and I want you to say, you know what, I just believe God's able to do this. And when I get it, I'm going to believe that He's going to open up something else. So what I'm trying to tell you is we're never going to get to the place where we stop and rest. Jesus said, you occupy till I come. You keep advancing. You keep possessing. You keep taking authority. You keep pulling down strongholds. You don't stop doing that. Now, if you're here and you're a saint of God, and you've got family that's backslid or not in church, and it looks like they are further away from God than they've ever been before, you don't see how in the world they're going to ever come. They're on drugs more now. They're on alcohol more now than ever before. I want you to step out of where you are and say, you know what, though? I believe their destiny is greater than that bar stool. I believe their destiny is greater than that drug house. I just wanted to give you a little shot of encouragement tonight. Tell you that where you are does not have to be where you stay.